And then you have the Civil War, and that makes things even worse, and of course then Reconstruction and what have you, and finally the some of the Creoles of white descent begin to feel pretty uncomfortable, you know, I mean, and they become even leaders of the segregation forces and the denial of the blacks as Creoles and the redefinition of what is a Creole until it becomes almost loony. I think in 1917, the Louisiana Historical Society issued a proclamation in which they defined the term Creole as they understood it, and they said no one could be a Creole who had any black blood. They gave their own definition. That was what it was going to be. The fact that it didn't mesh or didn't apply to the reality of what had been here didn't bother them in the least. They were redefining it in a later generation. So you get a lot of craziness later on, and indeed you have some of it today. But there were definitely people of black people or mixed race who were French-speaking, very proud of his French heritage, often went to New England schools, were sent there by their parents if they were well-to-do, sometimes to Paris, who spoke impeccable French, probably much more careful French than the white Creoles, because they were, this was part of their having gained a foothold in life, you know, and they weren't about to be slovenly over it. Well, then you get other groups that come in. And each wave didn't have to deculturate itself. It didn't have to divest itself of its own cultural ways, but could blend in with what was here, because the French culture was basically very accepting of other cultural ways. It found great joy in these things. And to this French base were added the Irish, the German, the Sicilian, the foreign French, the Anglo-Saxon, and after a few generations, you would have New Englanders coming in here who, three generations after Papa arrived from Worcester, Massachusetts, the children were quite Creole in their outlook, you know, in their easygoing manner. They lost that drive that Anglo-Saxons so often had, the drive to get ahead, to succeed. They relaxed, they took social matters much more seriously than the average Anglo-Saxon would have. By social matters, I mean the graces and the pleasantries of life, the food, the joy of the good time, festival, and all of this sort of thing. So each wave that came in was Creolized to a great extent. And if you went to, there were Italian restaurants, of course, and there were Creole restaurants, and there were undoubtedly some French restaurants and Sicilians and German restaurants, but if you went into the kitchen, there were usually blacks in there who came out of that Creole culture doing the cooking, and gradually that German food or that Italian food became Creolized. It melded in, and what you have today, even in the Cobbs today, or any of the Italian restaurants, unless it's a very recently established one selling some sort of ersatz Italian, like pizza or something, if it's selling real Italian food, unless it's brand new and established strictly on Italian lines, it's usually Creole food that you're getting in there with a slight variation toward Italian or toward German or what have you. Understand what I'm saying there? Well, okay, the city spread out, starting from the Vieux Carré. The Vieux Carré, the old square, which is what Bienville and his engineers laid out in 1718 at the foot of Canal, by Jackson Square.